Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Mary B.
Welcome to
the Happiest Girls Podcast.
Episodes will drop every Monday morning, and each week we'll be tackling a new topic, chatting about motherhood, singlehood, health, wellness, and everything in between.
Tune in each week as we discuss what it means to be
the happiest girl.
Hi!
Hello!
I guess a little rusty here.
Kate.
How's it going?
We're live.
What's new with you?
I have a baby.
Ah!
Another baby.
She's right here next to us.
You'll hear some grunts, some newborn grunts, because I don't want her to fall asleep just yet, so we gotta keep her awake for a little bit.
So she's a guest of honor.
Yes.
Any grunts to say, little czar?
Let me put it closer
here she
to
comes
the mic.
To the microphone.
Is that all?
That's all?
Oh, okay.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant words.
She's a genius.
Baby genius.
Baby genius.
Already.
Well, we're coming out of, I feel like, what is our kind of like, we had a little pause.
A little summer
there
break.
Because Kate did give birth and I'm just flitting about.
Yes. Mary B has been booked and busy.
Yeah, we might not be back again for a couple weeks because I'm going to Europe. But wanted to pop in, well, unless Kate, of course, wants to.
I guess
to
I
do.
Could just do some random solo apps
yeah,
if
you
I feel
should.
It in my bones.
You
we'll
should.
See.
But I feel like we want to come on, say we're alive,
yes.
And Kate's alive.
Yeah.
So this episode is going to be focused in on her birth story, how she's doing, any updates, and then answering some submitted questions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to just get into it?
Yeah, I guess we
Go
just
girl.
Hop right in.
Go, girl.
But basically, I went in on a Saturday, and I was like, I don't really know if I'm having contractions. But now, because with my first, I never felt contractions. My water broke, and you have to give birth within 24 hours after your water breaks. So I went in there, and I was like, I'm not in any pain at all. I don't feel any cramping, but my water did break, and I lost my mucus plug a few days before that. And so they put an epidural in, started Pitocin, and then I gave birth, like, 10 hours. And then I gave birth 10 hours later, and it was, like, very, very simple, seamless. And so this time, because this was my second, my doctor, and I was, like, already 3 centimeters dilate on my last checkup, my doctor was like, even if your contractions are 10 minutes apart, just come right in. If your water breaks, just come right in, because I think she was a little nervous that I was going to progress really quickly. And so I thought I was having contractions, but those were not like real contractions in hindsight, because I did end up having like a lot of breakthrough pain, and I was feeling what contractions were. And like people would say like, oh, you'll know if you're in labor, and like those were like, I was not having like real, like my contractions were very light compared to what I ended up feeling towards the end. But so my doctor was like, oh, just come in, and like I was like a day from my due date. Like my due date was Monday and it was Saturday night. And she was like, oh, just come in. And like, cause she was, my doctor was on call, and she was like, we'll just check. She's like, we'll just check and see, and we'll have a baby. And so I went in and she just directly admitted me, and I got an epidural. They started Pitocin, broke my water, and then I pushed. I'm jumping ahead. But a few hours later, I started to have a lot of pain, and I had the most amazing nurse, even though she did put an 18 gauge in my left hand. Ooh.
Which is like evil, because I have pipes, but I didn't want to be that person, because like it's always like tricky when a patient is like, oh, can you please go to this exact vein? Because then like, what if it's like really not a good vein? So I didn't want to be that person. So I was like, whatever, you can just go wherever you want. And but she was amazing, and she was like, she was following my baby really closely. Like, she was giving me a lot of really great attention, and which I felt like I kind of lacked with my first. I felt like I had a much newer nurse, which is totally understandable. It was COVID times, and you know, you kind of just like get what you get and you don't get upset. And she was watching my monitor. She's like, look, I can see like you're decelling here, because I was saying to her like, I'm having a lot of pain, can the anesthesiologist come and give me a bolus of medicine? Like, I could not tolerate it. Like, I have a really high pain tolerance, and like that, I was
it was, like, out of a movie where, like, Spencer was listening to something on his phone with his headphones, and, like, I was...
screaming.
Could have murdered someone in that moment. But, like, I was, like, I get, in the nicest way possible, like, I really need the anesthesiologist to come and give me some more medicine. Like, I can't, like, this pain is, like, insane. Mm. And she was, like, look, like, I can see right here, like, you're having some decelerations where the baby's heart rate goes down. And she's like, I can just see that this baby is about to come out. So she's like, let me just call your doctor and have her check you. And I was like, okay. And so she calls the doctor. My doctor comes right in. She's, oh, she's so amazing. But she comes right in. She's like, yep, you're 10 centimeters. Like, let's go. She puts the stirrups up. Like, literally 10 minutes later, she was on my chest. Like, I pushed once. And Spencer was like, oh my gosh, like, the head was literally already coming out. And then I pushed again, and she came out, and the cord was wrapped around her neck twice, but she was totally fine, thank God. But, like, that was kind of, like, trippy to see, coming mm-hmm. with her coming out. But my doctor was, she's very chill, very calm, and she's just like, okay, and, like, took the cord off around her neck, and she, like, started crying right away, put her on my chest. And with Dictator, I felt like there were so many people in the room. I don't really know why. Like, maybe there was stuff going on that I didn't know about. I think she passed her meconium when she was inside of me, which is, like, their first poop that's, like, really black and tarry. And the risk with that is if they swallow it, because they drink your amniotic fluid. So if they swallow their meconium, that can be really dangerous. And so I think that's why there were so many people in there. And I don't really remember them leaving her on my chest for as long as they did with Czar. Like, I was literally like, oh, are you guys gonna take her and, like, weigh her? Whereas, like, with Dictator, they literally, like, took her away right away and, like, did all the checks. So, obviously, both babies perfectly healthy, and so that's really all that matters. And Czar was much smaller and... has had a harder time gaining weight, and she was super jaundiced. But we got to leave, you know, 24 hours after. I had the same degree tearing, which was kind of a bummer, but I didn't have a hemorrhoid, so woo! My recovery was a lot better, because mm-hmm. that was the worst part of my first. And I don't know, like, everything's been fine. She latched right away, thank God. She's a pretty good sleeper, despite being so much lighter. Like, I was worried, because they were predicting her to be around 6 pounds, and she was 7 pounds, 7 ounces, but then, like, dropped to 6 pounds, 14 ounces, and, but she feeds really well, she's already sleeping really well, so, which I can talk more about. I don't know if anybody asked questions about that, but, mm-hmm. yeah, that's pretty much my story. Nothing traumatic, and, you know, I love an epidural, and I literally, when I was feeling that pain, I was like, I can't believe women do this for, like, hours.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I could never. Like, I was maybe doing it for, like, I don't even know, 30 minutes max. And I feel like I have a pretty good pain tolerance. And I was like, I need more medicine. Like, my poor nurse just kept being like, just wait for your doctor to come. I was like, I can't wait. But it all ended up being fine, because would have been a waste to wait anyway.
So did you have an epidural?
Oh, yeah.
But you still were in pain.
But I had breakthrough pain. So, like, I don't know if it was maybe because when you have Pitocin, which is the thing that helps progress your labor, mm-hmm. if the contractions are worse than just normal contractions. Mm. So I don't know if that was making them so bad, but, like, I was, like, pushing the button. But I think the problem was, like, I was not pushing the button at all. So you have, like, a PCA pump, and so you get a continuous, like, low dose amount of pain medicine, and then you can push it to get more. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't pushed at all, and she was like, okay, well, now you need to catch up, like, because you haven't been pushing it, which now I know for next time. Like, I really think my third birth will be my best birth.
Okay. You're getting the hang of it.
Yeah. And, like, now I know, like, okay, I shouldn't have even gone in, like, when I went in. Mm. But then at the end of the day, like, and I kept thinking, and this is for all my moms, if you're thinking about having a second, or even, like, even with your first, because I say this to my friends that are having their first, too, like, the whole night, I just kept thinking, I wish I had one more day, like, just being Dictator's mom. Mm-hmm. Like, just having her to worry about, just spending time with her. Mm-hmm. And now it doesn't matter, because now I know we still get a lot of one-on-one time.
Yeah.
So it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, it'll never be just you and, like, your husband or your partner ever again. Mm-hmm. So you're so excited to have this baby come, but try not to wish the time away where it... is just the two of you, or just, like, the three of you, if you already have one.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then when I think back, I'm like, okay, well, the cord wrapped around her neck, like, if I would have waited, like, would that have gotten worse? And, mm-hmm. like, something bad happened? Like, I had a really amazing nurse. Would I have gotten her? I ended up being able to get a private room, which mm-hmm. the hospital I delivered at usually is only double room. So mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, maybe God was like, Kate, go.
Get in there.
And, yeah. you know, for everything sure. works out how it's supposed to work. And it was so calm. Like, it was literally just my doctor and a NICU nurse and then my nurse. And, like, the whole Spencer, obviously. But, like, the whole experience was just very calm, relaxing, aside from the pain. But, you know, that was over so quickly. Like, once I delivered my placenta, I was like, oh, my gosh, acid reflux, gone. Like, everything is better now.
You trying to butt in here, Czar?
Yeah.
You have something to say?
Like, you're talking about me, aren't you? My ears are ringing.
When I came out? Me?
Yeah.
Me?
Maybe if I hold her, she'll calm down.
I know. I'm like, she's just here, and I'm not holding her.
You can hold her.
Can I hold her? I just love her.
Yeah. She's just so little. Like,
Sorry.
Oh.
Baby girl.
But, okay, we can do questions now.
Yeah, well, someone did ask, what's the difference from, how was 1 to 2 from 0 to 1?
Oh, my gosh.
From 0 to 1.
Obviously, this is all my opinion, but 0 to 1 rocked my world, whereas 1 to 2 has been, as far as the level, like, the difficulty, 100 times easier. It's more exhausting because, for example, I've been by myself this weekend because Spencer's out of town, and I finished feeding Czar at 4:45 a.m., 5 a.m. I'm like, oh, about to go back to sleep. Czar is asleep. Dictator starts crying. I'm like, ugh. So it's like that part is just like is much more exhausting,
mm-hmm.
and I can't rest. Like when I had Dictator, anytime she napped, I could also nap. But, like, obviously I have a toddler now, so I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I do get to nap. We have an incredible nanny. So during the week, like, I do get to rest for sure. Because Dictator will be off, like, living her best life. And, so, like, that's obviously a huge blessing to have that help. But going from 0 to 1, where your independence is gone, everything just changes overnight, kind of. And you don't know anything. Like, I didn't, like, you don't know how to give a bath, like, you don't know how to burp properly, you don't know how to, like, what kind of schedule should go on, you don't know, like, what's normal, what's not, so 0 to 1 was much harder, 1 to 2 is more exhausting, that's mm-hmm. how I would classify it.
Interesting, like, harder, like, it's just interesting that you have, like, different of, like, exhausting versus hard, like, that's
yeah.
two different things.
Definitely, like, the difficulty level was much, much greater with 0 to 1, and also I know everything is a phase, so I know, like, this part, like, I know this is a phase, where she's, you know, like, cranky like this sometimes, and
cranky.
So, it's, you know, if you're struggling in the newborn phase, just remember, it's just a phase.
Someone also asked something about the newborn phase. They said, what is your rose and thorn of the newborn stage? And congrats on baby Czar.
Thank you. So my rose is definitely how much they sleep. They literally just sleep and eat for the first, like, 6 weeks, I would say. I honestly don't even remember with Dictator. Like, I blacked it out. But they literally sleep every hour, pretty much. You have, like, a half hour where they eat and a half hour of awake time. And in, like, the first 2 weeks, it's even less than that. They're awake, they eat, and then they're awake for, like, maybe 10 minutes, and then they sleep. And they're just, like, so cuddly. Like, I love the contact naps. They're so light and little, and they're still in the same place where you leave them.
Yeah, they don't.
So they don't run away, which is nice. But the thorn is obviously the breastfeeding can be really hard compared to just having to feed a toddler, like, 3 meals, which is easy. And waking up, obviously, in the night can be hard. They're crying, like, they're uncontrollable crying, and, like, them not able to communicate what they need can be really hard. But other than that, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe you take her. Maybe she wants her mama. So, okay, how about
not... Can you maybe move the mic
back here and we can try it this way.
How about not living close to family? How do you get help or create your village?
Well, for starters, I have Marie here.
Woo!
She lives 10 minutes away, which is great. And then we have an incredible nanny, and a lot of Mary B's friends are here, so they can help babysit, and so that obviously really helps. And even though Spencer does work a lot, his office is really close, so that definitely helps. So he can be home by, like, 6, because he has a 5-minute city bike commute, which is really nice. But you just kind of figure it out, you know, and... it's, you don't miss something you never had. So,
yeah.
It's not like I went from having like a bunch of people around to nobody. Like, this has just always been my reality. So,
yeah.
Okay. Relax, relax, girly.
Baby girl. Yes, this is a child friendly podcast. Yeah. So,
if you ever come on our pod, you're welcome to bring our kids. Yes. Your kids with us.
Okay. This is how, it's kind of a different subject matter, but. Feeding journey thus far. I'm so curious to hear other moms' approaches.
So I'm exclusively breastfeeding right now, which obviously is just a choice. Whatever you want to do, I support. You know, your mental health is the most important thing, and so just because I'm doing it that way doesn't mean that's how you should do it. But and the reason I am doing that is because she latched right away. She eats totally fine. And my doctor is fine with, even though, like, she didn't hit her birth weight, you know, right away, she was like, she is gaining a little, it's fine, just keep going, how you're doing it. And I don't know how long I'll breastfeed. This time around, I'm definitely trying to build a stash a lot sooner. With Dictator, I didn't pump for the first month, and then I started to pump and build a stash. Right now, I'm, like, off the get-go because I don't want to do this forever. I don't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I have DMER, which is dysphoric milk ejection reflex, which anytime I have letdown, anytime I pump, anytime I feed, it's like this like wave of sadness and anxiety that comes over me.
Oh my gosh, you didn't know that.
Which is unfortunate. And so I try when I feed to just like distract myself. Like it's a lot easier now because I have a Dictator to like just be an angel around me. But, like, I'll try to watch Bravo or, like, watch TikToks. And it also helps, like, if I do skin-to-skin with Zara. So, like, I'll, like, hold her to my cheek and stuff like that. And, like, that helps. But so that's just, like, an unfortunate part of it. But at the end of the day, it's nothing I can't handle.
Like, a hormonal response?
Totally. Totally. It's like, a drop in your dopamine levels.
Hmm. You would think because you're burning so many cows, it'd be, like, working out.
Truly, and, like, it'd give me some endorphins.
Gosh, you would think, but I guess not.
Oh.
Okay, well, while you're settling, Czar, someone did ask me how marathon training is going.
Oh, yeah, tell us all about it.
And, Czar, you don't want to hear? And marathon training is going well. I ran 15 miles this weekend.
That's crazy. How long did it take you?
It took me like 2.5 hours.
Oh my God, what do you do during the time? Do you get bored?
I didn't this time. I feel like with running, it's like sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. And like with my like this run that I did, I just had like a good burst of energy and I had a good playlist and.
But yeah, do you listen to, like, a podcast or
no, music? I just did music. I had, like, things in backup. Like, I could have listened to a podcast. I could have listened to a book. But I decided to just, I mean, if, like, the playlist is vibing with your mood, you just got to send it. So.
Do you have a power song?
Not really. It really, oh my like, gosh, depends on my mood. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe Perfect Day, that one from Legally Blonde.
Oh, that's a good one.
And this person said, also, congratulations on your sweet baby, Kate.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
I know. So kind, all these comments. So, yeah, marathon training is going well. Very much plodding along, literally and figuratively. But yeah, going to Copenhagen next weekend for the Copenhagen Half Marathon, so that should be fun.
So fun. People rave about Copenhagen.
They do.
A lot of people say it's their favorite European country.
I know. So I've never been.
You're gonna have to like look at the aesthetic and try and match the cool girls there.
I know. I will say Copenhagen is a city, but
oh,
that's okay.
Wait, where is Copenhagen?
It's the capital of Denmark.
Oh, obviously. I should
But have that. No, that's okay. It's so exciting. And then I'm also going to Stockholm, so kind of around. I've been to Amsterdam before, but that's the only, like, Netherlands region I've been to. So, yeah, very excited. So that's what's going on with the marathon training. I feel like it's been an interesting journey, too, with nutrition. Like, I've definitely been more hungry, but I feel like you just have to, like, let... Yeah, I've been more hungry.
You've been hungrier.
Can I not say more hungry?
That's not for English, is it?
Sound off in the comments.
Your guess would know better than me.
Hungry, I don't know.
Did you say the most hungry or the hungriest?
I'm the hungriest I've ever been.
You gotta eat more. You gotta get like a Chipotle burrito and stuff like that.
No, I am eating more, but it's just like was an adjustment because I don't want to like gain bad weight.
Yeah, so you're running like 2.5 hours. Well, yeah, that's what I felt when I trained for a half marathon. I felt like I gained weight because, like, I was just eating, like, cereal and stuff to try to keep myself full, like, carbs.
Yeah, you definitely crave carbs. I will say it's interesting, though, with the 15 miles. Like, it, like, definitely affects your digestion. So I was, like, a little bit nauseous afterwards.
Oh.
And so I really haven't been eating this weekend that much.
Do you think that's also from dehydration?
Yeah, it could be for sure.
Do you bring, like, goo packets with you?
Yeah, I have goo. That's my thing of choice. Some people can't stomach goo, but it's totally fine for me.
Hold on. I feel like your water running, but you can keep going.
But yeah, that's what's new. Let's see if anyone submitted any more questions for me. Someone said my tan is giving, which I very much appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a fun question. I just became a first-time aunt. My sister's first baby. Any advice? Ooh! Okay. Few points of advice for being a first-time auntie. Nice ones are... I would say don't forget to, number one, like, pay attention to the needs of the mom and dad. You know, I feel like there's a tendency to want to run up to the baby and be with a baby, which I definitely do, but also just making sure to ask how your mom is doing, or your sister. So that would be one piece of advice. Also, I don't know, just, oh, Zar! Zar has thrown up on herself.
She probably feels better now.
Yeah. You're a little cranky. Let's see, auntie advice. I don't know, just have fun with it. It's so fun being an auntie.
Yeah, the aunt life is the best life because, like, you get to give them back.
Yeah, like, you just get to come and, like, hang out and get cuddles. And then, like, here's my biggest piece of advice. If you're ever feeling sad, just go over to your sister's and hang out with the babies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I also, like, I feel like Kate doesn't take me up on this that often, but if you're, like, free one night, and your sister's at the point where she is, like, willing to, like, go out and leave her baby at home, just be like, hey, like, I'm not doing anything on Friday. If you guys want to go out and get dinner, like, I can babysit. I feel like that's always nice. Yeah, Kate and I also have a shared calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like is nice because she knows when I'm available and not. So yeah. I feel like that's a good thing. I don't know. I just love them, and they'll love you. It's so fun being an aunt. I'm excited for you.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Here, we can go back now that you're here. You want to hold her?
Oh, you want to come to your auntie?
Oh.
You don't want your. There you go.
That's like other things. Like with your second, like I know to do things better. Like. With Dictator, I didn't introduce a bottle until she was almost 3 weeks old because everyone was saying, oh, nipple confusion, whatever. And it was the most miserable, traumatic experience trying to get her to take a bottle. And then with Zara, I gave her a bottle like
2 days later, maybe, she took the bottle perfectly fine. Same with the passy. Like, I didn't give, like, Dictator a passy for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. And then trying to find a passy that she liked because she didn't like certain shapes and things like that. So that was really hard. And so that just made my postpartum experience so much easier when she took a bottle right away, took a passy right away, breastfed easily right away.
She doesn't want me right now. She wants her mama.
It's okay.
She knows the difference.
It's okay.
But yeah, that's a good point too. I feel like a lot of people ask questions that about how, like, has it been easier from 1 to 2, or like, help, is 1 to 2 gonna be awful? I know this maybe is not a great example because she's a little cranky right now, but she's typically not like this. Well, you would know. I feel like she's really pretty chill.
Yeah. Also, like, the first 2 weeks, they're so chill because they're not awake to the world yet. And then after 2 weeks, and then you're like, oh my gosh, you're like lulled into this false sense of security where you're like, I had the most amazing, chillest baby. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, oh gosh.
Oh wait, they're awake now.
Okay. Here we go.
Little czar.
What else do you have for me?
Let me see here. I know this is our chaotic. Oh, people want to know push present details.
Oh yeah, I got a tennis bracelet. I had to get naked for a tennis bracelet. No, I'm just kidding.
It's okay to admit that. You're just a girl.
I was naked when I gave birth, so. yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. And you like it. Tennis bracelet, yeah, and you like it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. Oh, yeah. How is Dictator adapting to being a big sis?
So I was so nervous about this. I was like, this is going to go horribly. She's going to be so jealous and territorial. And she's been a little angel with her. Like, she's so sweet with her. She's so gentle with her. I will say, like, it helped. I wrapped a bunch of little toys for her. And in the first couple weeks when I was feeding or busy with the baby, I would be like, okay, go get a present. And, like, she loved that.
Mm-hmm.
So she loved, like, the novelty of opening the present. Even, like, the gifts were, like, silly little gifts. Like a sticker book or, like, a 6-piece puzzle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or stamps. And I think that really helped. So she, like, associated the baby with gifts. So she likes that.
Love that.
Yeah. And she's always, like, giving her kisses and wanting to hug her. And I try to not be like, don't do that, or, like, things like that. Like, I always try to tell her things she can do. I'll be like, oh, you can't hold her hand that tightly, but you can go do this instead or something. You know, like, I try to not always be, like, telling her 100 things she can't be doing around the baby. So I think that helps, too. But overall, my expectations were literally in hell, and so it's been much better than I expected, which has been nice, and I'm excited to just watch them grow. Like, someone gave me good advice, and which was to just always be saying, like, oh, you guys are so lucky to have each other, and, like, it's gonna be so fun, and, like, she loves you so much. Oh my gosh. What is your deal?
She wants to be heard. She wants to be heard on the pod.
Here, you can pause for a sec. Let me try to.
Okay, little czar has been put down.
Sorry, short intermission, but we're back. And now you won't have to hear it crying. Baby, why are you trying to listen to a podcast?
That's okay. We're mom friendly here.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for understanding.
What were we talking about?
Oh. I don't know. We did push present.
And then, oh, Dictator adapting to being a big sis.
Yes. She's crushing it.
Okay. Thank love God. That. I feel like she really is. Like, she definitely, I feel like, you know, wants her time with her mom, but she, like, loves baby czar.
Yeah. She definitely will sometimes cry for me a little bit more, but she's doing all right.
Who wouldn't?
I know. I'm pretty great. No, I'm just kidding.
Hot commodity. Okay, I feel like that's all the questions.
Yeah.
A lot of people just, I think most of it was about advice from 1 to 2,
yeah,
from 0 to 1. But yeah. I feel like you addressed that. So.
Definitely my best advice is to just have your expectations low and make sure to have help establish already that your toddler, people that your toddler enjoys and are comfortable around, because
and just try not to have too much change for them at once, and also try to make them as independent as possible. Like, I tried to make sure she knew how to take, like, her slip-on shoes off, and she was potty trained, and I put all of her plates and bowls at eye level for her, and I'd be like, oh, can you bring me a plate, or can you bring me a bowl?
Cute.
And then I give her little tasks, like, can you bring me Zara's blanket, or can you bring me that burp cloth? And she likes to be involved in that kind of stuff, so... And I talk through the baby. I try to say, oh, Zara was telling me how amazing you are and how special you are and what a good big sister you are. And just those words of affirmation. And she, don't get me wrong. Like, she's definitely acting out in ways that she normally wouldn't. But that is to be expected and just part of the adjustment period. So sometimes she just wants attention. And that's fine. She's only two, so.
Yeah, she's
can't expect small, perfection. Yeah.
Where do you get all of your ideas for these things? Like the eye level and making sure to potty train?
Oh, just what I think would help. But so our sister-in-law, Sydney, definitely gives me a lot of good suggestions. And just like things on social media help. And just reading comments on those types of videos that give me ideas. Mm. But I just got to try to think, because everyone's life and situation is unique, especially being in New York in a small apartment and things like that. So in that sense, also it really helps because her little play area is like right by the couch. And like my bedroom is right off of the kitchen, so like everything is, I can see her easily, and she's really good at independent play. I've been working on that since birth, so she can sit and entertain herself for a while, which is also really nice. But I just do things that make my life easier. So
love it. Yeah. There's no reward for suffering, as they say. Okay, well, we can keep this a short ep. I feel like this is maybe like our intermission mid-break.
Yeah. Any, did you start the mom talk show?
No.
Okay, next we're going to have to record because I have a lot of thoughts. Maybe Elena and I will do a pod on it together.
Yeah, you should while I'm away.
Because, like, I have so much to say, but, I already am overloading my friends.
I've been just... I've been watching a ton of TV, so...
Can't relate. What's that like?
I've been watching only Murders in the Building.
Oh.
I like the weekly TV shows.
I like things that are just, like, brain rot, where I don't really have to focus.
I do like those, too, sometimes. I've been dabbling in some Dance Moms. The Perfect
Couple on Netflix is supposed to be good, too. What else? Oh, A Bad Monkey on Apple TV. Spencer and I started that. That's also really good.
Oh, what's that about?
It's with Vince Vaughn, who he is a disgraced cop, and he's trying to solve a murder. Like, an arm is found in the Bahamas, and he's trying to, like, solve the murder because the situation is kind of sketch. I don't want to give away too much, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds really good. I love a murder mystery, as you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, should we do Baboos?
Yeah, let's.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot to mention I turned 27.
Oh, so yeah, your birthday.
No, I feel like we started this pod when I was 25. So...
Crazy.
Honestly, not much has changed from then to now.
Yeah.
Except just insane maturity and forever more beauty.
Yeah, always.
I will say my underlying goal for 27, let me know what you think about this, is to not be so stressed out.
Oh, that's like, such a good one.
Not take things so seriously. I feel like sometimes I'm like an overthinker, always trying to do everything right. But I think sometimes that can lead you to be a little bit more stagnant because you get like too afraid to make decisions and like to just like do things that make you happy. So... I've been telling people my biggest goal for 27 is to be more tan.
Oh, love. Love that.
And the underlying goal is not take things too seriously. So continuing that on for my trip to Copenhagen, just vibing, chilling. Life is meant to be enjoyed, so.
100%. Love that. My Babu, and, like, that's so interesting because, obviously, before I started breastfeeding again, like, my anxiety was literally zero. Like, as you get older, you're just like, I don't care.
I know. Literally, maybe that's the magic of 27. Turning 27, I'm like, it literally doesn't matter. Yeah. We'll take it as it comes.
Yeah. So, like, my family's healthy. I'm healthy.
That's the
My bills are paid. Like, life is good.
Yeah, but when you have anxiety, I mean, that's... It's not like you...
It's not your fault.
...are necessarily, like, ruminating on your thoughts. I think it's important to be able to distinguish, like, oh, I'm thinking in circles versus, like, oh, my anxiety is flaring.
Yeah.
Because then you can, like, do things to be like, oh, wait, my body needs something. Anxiety is almost like when you're hungry. It's like, I'm hungry, I need to eat. I'm having anxiety, I need to go on a walk or call a friend, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Get things off your to-do list.
So we're vibing in 27. Yes. No thoughts, just vibes. Yes.
Okay, my Babu is going to be, like, I have a to-do list a mile long, and, like, there's only so many emails I can respond to with, oh, I'm sorry, I just had a baby, even though it's been a month. So this week, I'm going to get a lot of stuff done. That's my goal.
Great goal.
To-do list.
Yeah, I love that. That's a weird thing, too, about traveling. I'm so excited to travel. But I also have a lot of things to do, but I feel like everything I prepare for travel takes precedence. So
fair.
That's going to be my Babu when I return. Just get everything done I need to get done. But right now I just have to, like, stay alive and prepare for a Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Well,
thanks for tuning in. We'll be better once the season changes and we're cold and not as busy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you guys can always write in if you want us to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we'll just be chisming along, yapping.
Yapping, as the kids say. Yeah. Yapping and mewing.
Mewing.
So, like, when you go, like, you try to, like, pop out your jaw.
Oh, my gosh.
You haven't seen that on TikTok?
I can't.
And both. I'll be trying to find a Sigma guy. I've been learning all these, like, what new Sigma young phrases. It's like... You know, like, there's alpha males.
Okay.
A sigma male is, like, an alpha male that, like, doesn't act like a jerk and is, like, kind of, like, quiet, like, does his own thing.
Not a narcissist.
Isn't asking for attention.
Love that.
So, like, I would say Spencer's sigma.
Yeah. He's definitely not quiet, but... He's not, like, annoying.
But not, like, quiet. He's, like, yeah, like, no, it's more so, like, quiet in your accomplishments. Just, like, you know.
Yeah. That's good to say it.
Not like, because what you don't want to be is a Sigma Chad, which is like, you know what a Chad is.
I'd just be an alpha.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Kids, I don't understand you.
Yeah.
No Ohio. That's like the bad thing things are bad. You're Ohio. This is real.
Ohio, just catching L's.
This is real.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding. This is what the kids are saying. No Ohio.
Wow.
We're officially old.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a great week, everyone.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Monday reset.
Let's go.